The Father in the Prodigal Son parable represents God the Father to us. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, folks. You're listening to Dr. Fred and Study, Grow, Know, another episode for you. We have been dealing with the prodigal son, and more specifically, and most recently, we've been dealing with the father of the prodigal son. And we talked last time about the fact that when the father saw his son still far off on the horizon, he actually ran to the son. He kissed him. He gave him royal status for that particular day. He welcomed him back as someone who was dead when the son had been really literally dead, but now he was alive. And for the father to be able to receive his son like that tells us something about God the Father. It tells us that God loves us more than we can know, more than we can truly understand now. He loves us with a love that is hard for us to truly appreciate. And when we expect him to beat us down emotionally, as we believe we deserve, God comes through with love that draws us closer to him simply because it's his love. Let me ask a question here. Which teaches you more about true love, grace or the law? Many people believe that when we return to God after going off on our own to enjoy sin for a season, however small that season might be, we should come crawling back to him, beating ourselves with a whip if necessary. You know, this shows God just how bad we feel, as though he's incapable of reading our heart. Not long ago, I saw a picture on the internet of a group of young Muslim men, and they were involved in a ritual of cutting themselves as some form of penance. Well, this apparently proves to Allah that they are serious about wanting to please their God. Do you recall the situation on Mount Carmel with Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal? And you can read about that in 1 Kings 18, 17 through 40. Well, it was here in that passage that we see the prophets cutting themselves to gain Baal's attention so that he would respond to them. It didn't work, and all they got from the skies was absolute silence. Penance is a large part of some of the major religions, but in reality, it's nothing more than an effort by humans to convince God that they're really sorry for their sins. If they can convince God that they're really, really sorry by inflicting pain and drawing blood, then God is going to be impressed enough to bless them. He'll know that they're sincere. Unfortunately, an aspect of this has infiltrated the visible church, and people are often legalistic about how we should approach God and what our relationship with him should be. I mean, the question is, does God want us to harm ourselves, even emotionally, in order to prove to him that we are terribly sorry for what we've done? Is he somehow impressed with this? Well, I don't see that in Scripture, yet others do. The prodigal son is a story of two young men, and we'll get to the older son here shortly, who obviously do not know their father at all, though they certainly think they know him. Is this misunderstanding of their father that prompts their wrong and even harmful attitudes? What we see in the father's approach to both of his sons is a stalwart love and acceptance of them, something that is often missing among Christians today in their relationship with one another and with God. I mean, let's face it. If we believe God expects us to treat ourselves poorly over our sin, wouldn't that same attitude extend itself to others in the visible church? Wouldn't we wind up becoming judgmental and legalistic to one another under the guise of quote-unquote honoring or revering God? This is completely Pharisaic in our approach, and because of it, this is not what God wants for us. If the parable of the prodigal son is any indication at all, it is obviously not the way God treats us. We need to understand that, as difficult as it can be, we must strive to realize that God is love and exercises that love to all people, but especially to those within his family. Now, while people live, God's love is being extended to them. If they wind up dying without ever receiving that love in the form of his salvation, they can expect to be on the receiving end of his wrath for all eternity. Why would anyone take that chance by ignoring his love now? Well, let's turn to the older son. Let's turn to him for just a second. In Luke 15, 29b, the latter portion of verse 29, we read these words spoken by the older son. "For so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours." Okay, that's the older son. He's speaking from his own attitude. Well, the older son, he seems to be a bit of a conundrum for us. On one hand, he seems devoted to his father, doing what's required, never complaining about it. On the other hand, he seems to be harboring deep resentment toward his father. It's interesting, but if we were to simply judge the older son by outward appearances, we would have to say that he is loyal to a fault and a very hard worker. We would also have to say that the older son worked hard for his father, and we might even be tempted to think that the older son in the parable of the prodigal son of Luke 15 loved and respected his father. Now, this, of course, is all based on outward appearances. It simply proves that we don't really know people at all. While we think we might, it can literally take years to really get to know someone. Waving a quick hello or exchanging momentary pleasantries to your neighbor does not allow you to get to know that person or them to get to know you. How many times have we heard or read that someone in some household went ballistic and killed family members and then took his own life? The normal reaction, with few exceptions, by the people in that area or that neighborhood is something along the lines of, well, they seem like a nice family. The father worked hard around the house and the kids seemed happy. Well, after a while, you begin to wonder about all the quiet people on your block. Are they merely waiting to explode one day? Well, we've already gone over the bulk of this passage from Luke, detailing the young son and looking somewhat at the father, though we will deal more deeply with him in an upcoming broadcast. Now, while all the hoopla was going on back at the ranch because of the young son's return, true to form, the older son was hard at work in the fields. That's what he did. That's what he believed his father expected. And let's read Luke 15, verses 25 and 26. "Now, his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be." All right, those two verses highlight the first sign of potential trouble since the young son had returned. Let's consider things from the older son's perspective just for a moment. First, like his younger brother, presumably, the older son did the work that their father set before them each day. It did not appear as though the older son complained, but simply did what was asked of him to do. Outwardly, there didn't appear to be a problem between father and son. However, one day, the older son hears or learns that the younger son basically took his inheritance and stormed off the set, so to speak. He was off to see the world, and he wanted ultimately to spend his money foolishly. He didn't think it would be foolish at the time, though, I'm sure. Now, I'm thinking that the older son was probably a bit perturbed at this. Not that the younger son had left, but that he left with his inheritance. This would become a burr under his saddle, I'm sure, that it would keep bothering him and festering until it grew into a mountain of anger. Now, on one hand, the older son may have been glad that the younger son had left. Maybe they didn't get along. It's very likely that the younger son had a habit of complaining. Maybe he didn't do the work well. It's doubtful that one day out of the blue, completely contrary to what he thought and lived, that the younger son all of a sudden developed a case of, I gotta get out of here, outlook in life, and then wanted to take off. Chances are good that the younger son had been contemplating this move for some time, and may even have shared it with his older brother. Who knows? The reality is that the day came, the young son demanded and got his inheritance, and then he took off, theoretically, for good. He was done with his father. Well, much to his dismay, the younger son had gone off to sow some wild oats, but had now returned. That was galling to the older brother. While his younger brother had gallivanted off to places unknown for good times, the older son remained and continued his life of working hard for his father with a stiff upper lip. Then one day he hears and sees a commotion back of the house, and he learns from one of the servants what had happened. Let's read Luke 15:27. "And he said to him," the servant speaking here, "your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Wow, that must have been great news, right? Whoopee, the young upstart who had demanded his inheritance and run off to be Mr. Playboy is now back, safe and sound. Who cares? He was the one who ran off. He wasn't kidnapped. Why should I, the older son, he's thinking, be excited that my brother ran out of money and came back for more? Well, this didn't set well with the older brother. We know that from the very next verse, Luke 15:28. Quote, but he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. All of this pent-up anger that the older brother had kept in check started coming out. The older son began pouting and wouldn't go back to welcome his brother home. I mean, humanly speaking, we can understand that. As human beings, we can definitely appreciate and even relate to the older brother's attitude here. We know it's wrong, but we can relate to it because there have been possibly times in our lives when we have acted just like that, when we felt cheated and underappreciated. The older son became resolute in refusing to obey his father here. He believed that he had a good and legitimate reason to put his foot down and to be even angry and upset. He believed that his brother had gotten from his father what he had not deserved, and here was the brother back again as if he was a king returning from the hunt. Would his father respond much the same way? What if the younger brother arrived at the same point again, deciding that staying home was just too servile and wanted to sow some more wild oats? What would his father do in that situation if it arose? Give him yet more money to throw away? Well, the older brother had a point, but he also failed to see things from an accurate perspective. And in some ways, the older son is very much like a legalist. The older son slaved away for his father, and he probably did consider his work slaving. He never outwardly complained that we're aware of, simply doing what was expected of him to do. Unlike his younger brother, he had never disrespected his father outwardly. He never brought shame to the family that way. And as far as the neighbors in the community in general knew, the older brother was an upstanding member of the family and the community. Not the younger brother. Oh, no. He wasn't happy doing what he was supposed to do. No. He needed to have his money now so that he could live his high life now. And who cared about the father or his older brother? The younger brother represented the height of arrogance and self-centeredness. Yet here he was, back, safe and sound. Who cares? The older brother may have hoped to never see his brother again. You know, I can picture the older brother absolutely fuming upon hearing the news that his younger brother had returned and he was being treated like he was. Let's not miss the specific wording of the servant either. He specifically said that the younger brother was safe and sound. And in doing so, that servant had completely understood that the young son had been fully restored to the family as a son. And because of it, he was obligated to treat him with respect, whether or not the servant thought he deserved it or not. In fact, it was not the servant's place to determine a person's worth. His job was to follow orders and to do what was expected of him by his employer. When the older son became thoroughly obstinate after hearing the news of his younger brother's return, he simply refused to go into the house to become part of the celebration. The older brother had not been there with his father as the younger brother approached. The older son had not seen his father's response to the young son even as he was still approaching. Neither had the older brother been there to actually hear what his younger brother had confessed to their father. Well, we're going to continue with this next time, but I thank you for joining me. And in the meantime, I pray that God will open your eyes to see how richly blessed you are. Thanks for joining me. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred DeRubo of StudyGrowKnow.com. We're living in strange times, very likely what the Bible calls the end times, just prior to the last period of human history known as the tribulation. Well, at StudyGrowKnow.com, I present broadcasts each week designed to help you grow through knowledge of God's Word. Besides my broadcasts, I've written numerous books about the modern state of Israel as it relates to God's Word, commentaries for the layperson on Revelation and the Olivet Discourse, and many other books on a variety of topics, including prophetic issues. Whether it's the rapture or political issues like Islam, prophecy in general, or the end times specifically, I offer a conservative biblical perspective on these and other subjects. I hope you'll join me at StudyGrowKnow.com each week as I discuss issues that are important to you. For all our broadcasts and resources, go to StudyGrowKnow.com. That's StudyGrowKnow.com.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRubo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.